thinking of the day approaching and the kind of messages that you and I are hearing. I'm not going to say should. I say we are hearing the kind of messages the Lord wants us to hear. If you get online at Church of God Preaching and scroll down and look at the titles of and the, even the categories or the subjects, I believe the Lord is doing all He can to prepare us, to inspire us. That's the kind of messages He's wanting us to hear in these last days. In some ways, it's almost like we're biding time. Time is running out. We all feel it. I spoke with a dear saint that has been visiting her children because she has a burden for her family. And so she's been going around to their homes and talking to them about eternity and about time. And though most of her children may not be saved, did you know that nearly all of them said, "We feel the end is nigh." And you can go out into the world and you can talk to people out there and you can find that there's people that believe something is out there. Something is going to happen. And maybe we all here this morning, we're a little bit taken with the cares of our life and we forget. And we have to be a little reminded. So the kind of messages I believe the Lord is trying to use in this day and time is messages that will stir up our pure minds. That He wants us to remember some things. He wants to remember, He wants us to remember all that He has done for us in the past and all that He can do for us today and tomorrow, if we see tomorrow. I believe that He is wanting to send messages that will inspire. Yes. Not only inspire our faith, but inspire us to go forward. Yes. Inspire us to not turn to the left or the right. I believe that He is wanting to send messages to revive us and renew us and revisit us. I am so glad for the scriptures where David said things such as that so long ago in the Psalms mostly, and he would cry out and renew a right spirit within me. Do we need renewal along the way? I believe we do. I believe when we find ourselves maybe on dry ground, we feel empty, and that we can say the same words that David did and say, renew a right spirit within me. Refresh me. So I believe that the Lord is sending those kind of messages. If you've been listening to any of those messages, I believe you could agree with that. I'm thinking this morning again, we've had several messages on the deliverance, the deliverances of God, power of His deliverances. I believe our last message that we had here a couple of weeks ago was that God was the God of battles. God is a God of many things. And I hope that we can convey that kind of message today, that He is a God to fill many places. So, Brother Robin, I think it came back on. I'm sorry. There is a statement that sometimes we have heard, And it's almost been a discouraging statement when I have heard it. And yet, to some degree, I have to agree. There are things being said such as that the Spirit of the Lord is withdrawing from the earth. Have you ever heard that? I know you have. But when I stop and really analyze that, there's a reason that people would say it or feel it. Jesus said that he was not able to do many mighty works because of the hardness of their hearts. And our world is in a time of hardness of heart and lack of vision. And so because the majority of the world, and it's according to the scripture, the majority of the world is not exercising faith. Therefore, it may seem that the Spirit of the Lord is withdrawing from the earth. But I don't believe it has to. I believe that you and I can maintain faith, belief, a strong belief that God is able. We can believe his word. We can believe his prophets. And that is a scripture that says, believe his prophets. What does that mean? The preached word. The word that may come across. Believe it. And so shall ye be, I don't remember the word, balanced or established. That's what it says. So shall ye be established. So even though we may feel that, and there's people that are questioning God, and they're questioning why we don't see certain healings or miracles or things like that. You know, I believe that God is still working miracles. And I believe that God is still saving to the uttermost. And I believe that God is still helping people. I believe that he is even reaching out to the lost, whether they get saved or not. The scripture says he's good, and it's by the goodness of the Lord he wants to lead them to repentance. But also, it says that he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. I think he is good to all. They just don't see it. But you and I can look for it and expect it and desire it. So I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is still here.
Yes, definitely.
I believe that he wants to reveal his Spirit unto us continually. And even though, how many times have you heard me say, God wants to prove his great power? And it's in the word, but I have said that many times in this congregation. He's wanting to prove something.
Yes.
And I believe he is proving himself to be strong and mighty.
Yes.
We have testimonies of miraculous things. Oh, the world might not call them miracles, but we do. Thank the Lord. So I believe that the power of God still remains.
Amen.
Now, I also, since I have Levi and Lindsay here, and they heard the message last Sunday, so I'm going to give just a little statement. It left an impression on me, and I gave it to Four Corners last week, and I read this little article, and it's a little allegory, just a little short one, and it said that that three men were walking on a wall, and one was faith, and one was feeling, and one was fact. And feeling fell off the wall. And faith reached down to lift up feeling and fell off the wall as well. But fact brought them both back up on the wall. So Some of the things that we're going to work with today is simply facts. So I want to give you what fact is, which you probably know. A fact is truth. It actually exists. It is a fact cannot be disputed. It is certainty. It is reality. So that's what fact is. So facts don't change. They stay the same. Cannot be disputed because it is the truth. There are some things that are called transient. You know what that means? It changes. It can vanish away. It can be here for a time and then it is gone. So there are things in this world, in this life, that are transient. They'll vanish away. I'm thinking of our world. What God set in motion by the spoken word, and you and I have existed in this world, on this earth, we believe He created all of the earth, and yet the scripture says it's going to wax old. The scripture says, and you know these scriptures, heaven and earth will pass away. That's something that is transient. It's going to vanish one of these days. And according to the scripture, it even tells us how it will happen. This earth will be burned up. Maybe you and I can't hardly fathom that prophecy. It was the same in the days of Noah, because Noah preached, there's coming a flood, and it had never rained. And the people did not believe it. Therefore, he took only onto that ark his family. No one else was able to believe and get on the ark. Now, if you will believe that there is coming a day that fire is going to literally burn up this earth, now there is a philosophy in other religions of this world that says it will be burned over. There is a difference in being burned over and burned up. They teach and believe that all of the sin, all of the defilements of the earth, all of that kind of thing that has polluted the earth, it's just going to be burned up and it's going to be purified then, and only those that can remain will live on the earth. But that is false teaching.
That's right.
This earth is not meant to last forever.
Yes, that's true.
Because he's gone to prepare a place for you and me. That you and I and all that believe and all that are redeemed will live forever. Thank the Lord. What a beautiful thought. So this earth is growing old. It just has a certain amount of time. There is a judgment against the earth, if you want to call it that. In other words, when he says time will be no more, time will not exist on this earth. So in Isaiah 64 and 6, there's just a little phrase that also speaks about something else that is transient, and that's man. You and I are not meant to live forever. We have an allotted time in this time world The scripture plainly says that you and I have an appointment, that we will meet, that when we are born to die. We have a birth date and we will have a death date. And those are important facts for people that are studying genealogy. You have ancestors that lived on this earth and walked this earth and today are not part of the earth, and you will follow the same path. That is because you and I are transient. So Isaiah 64 and 6 says, we all do fade as a leaf. So don't expect to live forever. There have been people in past generations that thought they found the secret to life on earth forever. And they, in turn, are now in the grave. So you and I will fade. There are some other things that are transient. Knowledge doesn't last forever. Oh, we may pass what we have learned on to the next generation, and that's good. But the scripture itself says that knowledge will vanish away. It speaks of the scripture there in 1 Corinthians. It says, charity and love endureth, and it never fails. You know, that doesn't have to be transient. Love can be enduring. It can last if we lend it. But it's only the love that comes from above. It can't be some kind of physical, conjured up, infatuation. That's not the kind of love this is talking about. And you and I can claim and receive the love of God in our hearts and in our lives, and it can work. Love. Don't you know that faith worketh by love? Love is so important in your walk, my walk with the Lord, for us to even have faith. But it says, prophecies shall fail. Even the preached word, some way, it's got to be somebody else that will be raised up to prophesy to the next generation. But for this generation, it would fail. Tongues, people like to think about the gift of tongues and the speaking in tongues. I don't believe that's what it's talking about here. I believe it's simply saying tongues will cease. In other words, when we die, we will not speak anymore. But knowledge will vanish away. You know, there's probably been a lot of knowledgeable people, intellectual people that passed out of this world that didn't leave that knowledge with someone. So it vanished. It went with them. So I say all of that just to open up our minds to the fact that there are things, material things, there are lives, there is the earth that is going to vanish away. But God, yes. It's a fact that remains. Yes. God is the fact that remains. He is called the eternal God. He is called the God from everlasting to everlasting. Now, because we are mortal, because we know that we face death, it's difficult for us to maybe comprehend this God that is the very fact that he will always be there for whatever generation comes into this world. He was there for all past generations. Since the beginning of time and before the beginning of time, God was there. And he hasn't diminished at all in any power. If there is a diminishing of his power, it is because of you and me doubting, lack of faith. That's the only thing that will hinder his power. But if you and I will grasp hold of the faith that he encourages us to, if we will follow the path of holiness, he says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. We have to, how many people says you can't be holy? Oh, I'm not perfect. Well, are we striving to be perfect? Not in ourselves, but we are striving for the perfection of Christ to reign in us, to reign that righteousness on us. So God is able to help you and me to be holy, to have faith, that the Spirit of God will not diminish from the earth. Lord, help us that we will not limit the power of God ourselves. So the thoughts are in my mind how that God remains. He changes not. These are scriptures. You know, we could look them up and read them. He is the same today. Isn't that one of our favorites to encourage our faith? Jesus Christ, the same. Well, he is the same. He will be the same tomorrow as he was yesterday. And so he is still on the throne. Don't we like to say that sometimes? God is still in control and he is on his throne. I like those statements too. So God was the creator of all that is in the world. And then he said it was very good. But he created man and he said it was very good. So man was created in the image of God, and then placed within man was a piece of eternity. We like to call it, and it is, it's the eternal soul. But when you think it is actually eternity is within me because I have that eternal soul, I will be required at the end of my life to give an account of all that I have done in my life. According to my knowledge and understanding and light, God is a faithful God and he shines light upon us. He teaches us. He leads us. He guides us. He is so faithful. Remember the scripture that says, and then you shall know if you follow on to know. And it said in another place, it said, if you should turn to the left hand or to the right hand, there would be this little voice. I'm adding some of those words behind you that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. There really will not be an excuse. Because God has all power in heaven and in earth to guide us and to teach us and to show us the way. Thank the Lord. So we have, our God is, the scripture says, above all, through all. Sometimes we sort of get to wanting to put man in there, above all, through all, and then in you all. I believe God is just, his very holiness and his presence and his power is filling the whole earth. And you and I need a vision of that for our our generation, for this generation. When God created man, did man ask to be born? No. Is anyone in this room, did any of you have anything to do with you coming into this world? No. Not one of us, not even these little babies that we cherish and look upon with such joy, not one of those babies had anything to do with them coming into this world. So what does that say to you and me? What it says to me is that God takes great responsibility for those that come into this world. He knows each one of us. The scripture verifies that David said that he knew him when he was in the womb. Don't you know that God still knows that? He's allowing these children to come into the world. He allowed you and me to be in this world. He caused us, I say caused, he created us with personalities, with family traits. I believe he knew each one of us before we were born. And I believe that he knew what he could do to help us before we were born. I believe that he knew if we would have a characteristic of a temper or a characteristic of many characteristics. He couldn't name them all. And he said, I want to create in them. I want to shape them and mold them and fashion them. I'm the only one that can. And he is. He's the only one that can really form us into vessels that will honor him. So I believe that God takes grave responsibility for every soul that enters into this world because you didn't ask to be born. Now, once you and I are in this world, he offers eternal life. He offers his plan of salvation, but he offers so much more. It doesn't just stop with conviction of my sins and repentance of my sins. And I've tried to convey that when we were talking about deliverances. He offers so much for mankind, but he offers so much for the people of God. So I go to a scripture, and it starts out with a very familiar scripture, and I have preached on this before, but it says, what is man? And I'm just going to sort of stop right there and just ask that question. What is man? Well, we're a creature of choices, a will. I have a will. You have a will. God gives us that great privilege to make choices, to make decisions, to choose the path that I will walk. He allows that. So what is man? Man can be his own governor. He can govern himself as he wishes. And this morning, you and I have the same privilege. We can govern ourselves however we wish. But he offers something. And he does it like this. What is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou visitest him? Don't you know God visits the people of the earth various ways? We're not going to go into that. We may have brought out some of that in some other messages. But this word mindful, I never gave a definition for it, but you know what it means for him to be mindful of us? It says consciously and fully aware. Being inclined to focus directly, paying close attention to. God is paying very close attention to you and me, whoever we are. And it's not just this little group that's inside this room here today. It's all of the people of the earth. Because the scripture says he does not want anyone to be lost. It's his purpose and desire for everyone to be saved. So he's going to be mindful of every soul, because that's the responsibility that he's feeling. Because you and I didn't ask to come into this world. And he's saying, I'm responsible. You know, sometimes it may be the reason why he tarries his coming, because he feels such a grave responsibility for the masses. Yes. And yet there will come a time, it will be enough. So God is mindful of man, and he wants to visit them. And I know, and I believe you can testify to, God has visited me all through my life.
Yes.
We can all look back in our lives and pinpoint where God was having mercy upon us and dealing with our hearts. It's children, little children. God visits little children. And he visits each of us in every stage of our life. And that's part of his responsibility. So in Jeremiah 10 and 23, a familiar scripture, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's why God wants to take the responsibility of visiting with each one of us and working with each one of us. Because I don't know how to direct my steps, and you don't know how to direct your steps without the guidance of the Lord. And then Proverbs 20 and 24, this is the way it reads, but I'm going to give you a little different translation. It says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Well, what that other translation says, a person's steps are directed by the Lord. Can you look back in your life and see where the Lord directed your life and you didn't even know it?
Yes.
You didn't realize it? First of all, the fact that you and I have been associated
yes.
with the truth means that God at some point, either in our ancestors, My grandparents, they weren't raised this way. But at some point, God visited my grandparents and they responded to it. And that's the secret of your visitations, is that you respond when the Spirit of the Lord draws you. And that's what makes us who we are today if we're saved, because we have responded.
Yes.
But sometimes it's almost like if they had not responded, where would I be? You see how one generation, you know the song that we sing sometimes, may all who come behind me find me faithful. It's because we're leaving something. You and I are leaving something right now to the next generation.
Yes.
An example of some kind. So I'm thankful that my grandparents on my mother's side, I'm glad that they responded to the visitation of the Lord. And then I have to look down at my father. My father wasn't raised this way. My mother wasn't even saved when she married my dad. And my dad could have said, "My child is going to go to the Baptist church." My dad could have said that. But he didn't. And there was some form of visitation. And my dad accepted this way. So therefore, I didn't have to go out searching for it. You didn't. Most in here did not have to go out searching for it. It was handed to us, and it makes us so responsible.
Yes, it does.
And it causes us, we should be most grateful that we didn't have to plow through some of those teachings. But it doesn't matter. If we did have to plow through it, the Spirit of the Lord would visit and would reveal. Thank the Lord. So it's not, I can't direct my steps, and God, a person's steps are directed by the Lord. And how can a man understand his own ways? Another scripture is Psalms 139, verses 9 and 10. And it says, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea," sort of a poetic way that is being written here that we might not be able to really relate to because we don't have wings to fly and we're not going to dwell in the depths of the sea. But listen to the next verse. "Even there," the writer here is trying to get us to see that even in those places that we can't imagine being, "even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Oh, that's how the Lord visits us. That's how he speaks to us and talks to us. So God is consciously and fully aware of you. And he is directly focused and paying close attention, and I'm going to say now, to every need, because I want us to think about what God does for us. Time's getting away. I sometimes get carried away. Let me maybe cut a little bit of this. I think that for those who seek his face, what does he say he'll do? We'll find him. And I'm going to say this, that you and I will directly experience, when we seek his face, the goodness of the Lord and the knowledge of God. And we'll understand when he comes and visits us. And at those times, we will directly, I wrote this down this way because it was inspired this way, we will directly experience his power. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. The result of his power will be manifested in our life. So what I want to leave with you today, and try to be as brief about it as I can, I looked up five or six of names that represent God. You know, back in the Old Testament and in from the Israelites and the Jews, they had certain names that identified who God was. I don't think that they went around just saying, "Oh, God," or "Father," or "Heavenly Father." Do you know why? Because they experienced him in a certain way, and they had words that they put together that represented God and told what he was.
Yes.
And so if you look in any of your Bible dictionaries and different things like that that gives the names of God, there's so many, because he's even called by, well, let me think of one that represents who he was. The Almighty God is capitalized. It's a proper noun. And there's many words that we would call just words, but they're his name. Why? Because they represent who he is and what he does. So I'm just going to give you a few, and I may not be able to even pronounce these correctly, because most of these didn't even have a little pronunciation guide. So the first one I'm going to give you is Elohim. And I don't know if that's correct or not, but we're going to use it. It's a word that means God himself. But it meant more than just the name of God or the word God. It represented, the name represented and refers to God's incredible power and might. There was no other God or source of help that had that name. Only God himself. And they knew what that meant when Jonah was in that ship and the storm was raging because when he told them, he said, I serve the God. They knew it was a different God. They wanted to save him. But he said, there's only one way. I cannot get away from this God. Toss me over. But they feared because those people didn't know exactly. But they knew there was something different about his God. I want to say to us today, get it into your heart and mind. Fixed in your heart and mind, you are serving a different God that definitely has more power than you can imagine. I have even testified of late when someone would ask me, how are you doing? And I will say, I'm doing good. I say, he has done abundantly above all I could ask or think. I want to tell you, each one of us need that kind of faith and allow it to work and taste of it and experience it. And when you experience it, you will know it because it's beyond you. It's beyond what you could comprehend what God could do for you. And that's my answer. That's my testimony when somebody out there says it. And God has opened up so many opportunities for me to testify of his greatness in this experience of my life. I don't know. It seems as though he's just open to strangers. I cannot help but witness what God has done for me. So the children of Israel knew that this word that represented God and his power, no other God held that name. So there's another one. It's called El Roi. R-O-I. El Roi. El is God. E-L. This is the God who sees. May not understand the name to quote it exactly. And he sees all the affairs of people and he knows. He knows how you feel. He knows when you're hurt.
Yes.
He knows it all. He sees. He's a witness. He understands when you feel like you can't go another step. Do you ever feel that way? Many people do.
Yes.
He knows. Yes. Roi. I don't know how to pronounce it, but to the children of Israel, that name meant something. They believed that God was looking down upon them and observing and taking it all in. He knew. They knew. The next one is, and this one is given in two different ways. I have to stop and think how to pronounce it. Yahweh Jireh. One of them is spelled with a J and one is spelled with a Y. But they mean the same. To the children of Israel, that meant that it was the Lord will provide. Doesn't that mean something to us? What is he wanting to provide? I believe he wants to provide every grace for you and me that we will need in this life. He's not going to give it ahead of time. In other words, I don't have grace today for tomorrow, but it is sufficient. The Lord will provide whatever you need. Whatever is in your life, whatever trouble comes in your life, whatever sorrow comes in your life, whatever you need, the children of Israel knew. Jehovah Jireh, if that's the way it's pronounced, it meant something. They knew that God was going to provide for them. You and I need that kind of faith. God is going to provide. The next one was Jehovah, and I had never heard this one before until I read this one. Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. You know what it meant to the children of Israel? Those words? Healer. The Lord who heals. We need that. We need to remember that he has a name that means he is a healer in Zion. That he is a great physician. That he knows how to heal our bodies. He knows how to heal our spirits. He knows how to heal our emotions. He knows how to heal our minds. We are a complex being that he created. He created it. He knows how to heal our humanity. We gave one of his healings and his deliverances was he can heal our backslidings. Thank the Lord. So this name meant something to the children of Israel, and it needs to mean something to us. The last one was Yahweh Shalom. Now, you may have heard that one before. Shalom is peace. It was a term that the children of Israel, the Jews, used in greeting. It would be like, peace be unto you, when they would say that word to somebody else. But they saw God. They put God's name before the peace. And it simply means the Lord of peace. He wants to give you and me the peace of God that passeth understanding, the peace that comes from above. And he will do it if we seek for it. Don't you know that all that God has for you and me, we have to let him do it? Permit him, seek for it. I've said it here so many times, how that my aunt, when I was grieving for Jan, she would call me every week. Aunt Margaret would call me every week and say the same thing. Let the Lord heal your broken heart. Don't you know I could say that to you this morning? If you're needing to believe God sees every affair of your life, let Him do it. Let it work in your life. Let it increase your faith. Let it work to cause you to prosper.
Yes.
If you're needing healing, let the God of healing, let Him work. And the God of peace, you want peace? Let Him give you peace. Agree with Him on it. That's what that word Lent means. Agree with Him. So that's our little thought today. And I want us all to be very aware that God is very aware. He's very aware of you and me. He sees it all. He understands it all. He knows how to heal broken hearts. Whatever is broken in your life, He knows how. So thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for His great mercies unto me. Pray for me.